Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning. Good morning. My jam song. Wow, I'm Dr. Bessie here sitting at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. Isn't that amazing? Mothers and daughters around the world. And what are we doing? We're sharing our testimonies, our stories about our mother and daughter relationships. We are gaining knowledge from each other, wisdom, on how to make our mother and daughter the best relationship we possibly can have. And in doing that, we gain wisdom and understanding and knowledge how to be the best that we can be in our other relationships. You know, being a mother means you're nurturing, and it's not necessarily just your biological children. We nurture friends and our families, our co-workers, people on the street. You know, God is so amazing. He selected the woman because he knew he built in that nurturing factor that we have. Sometimes it can be overbearing women. We can, you know, we want to nurture our husbands. So they're like, really, I'm not trying to get another mother. But it's just in us to take care of others. So I want to say good morning. It's a great day. I thank God for being here, just being alive, really, and have an opportunity to get up and get on the radio. Let me go and find out where our co-host, we have our co-host this morning, who is Cynthia Oliver. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I am wonderful.
Good morning, audience. How are you guys out there? It's a beautiful morning here in Central Florida. The leaves are falling, and it appears to be a wonderful day. It looks like it's going to rain, but guess what? Liquid sunshine. All is well.
It's a part of the formula.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a part of the formula. You can't grow unless you have some water. You got to have some water to make this thing grow. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely. You know, just like the word, got to be watered.
Mm-hmm. I love rainy days. I tell them, to me, I don't feel guilty for not running out and going places. Okay, it's just a peacefulness that allows you to feel peaceful on the inside and not guilty for just staying inside the house. You know, sometimes the rain will deter getting out there and getting into trouble, staying out of trouble, those type of things. Mm-hmm. Now, that's just my opinion. Let me get
absolutely
Deborah on. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody?
Oh, man.
All is well, girl.
Amen.
It's been an exciting week, ladies. It has been an exciting week. It's like everything is pointed in one direction, and it's so amazing because it's going to flow into our topic this morning. So just get ready, get ready, get ready. Because we are on this train and it's taking off, and you know, we're only going to ride this for a little while, and then what, we're going to get on a jet, and you know, it's over then, because we're going around the world taking the word of God to mothers and daughters and having fun and enjoying it as we do it, just like we've done on this radio for the last 11 years. Okie dokie.
I cannot believe it's been that long. I'm sorry. I just cannot believe it's been that long. It's wow, interesting.
When you think about it, can't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Because for a few years there, many years I was on it by myself. You know, I can't believe. But when God tells you to do something, and like I tell you, and most you out there, audience, you know, and those who don't know, when he asked me to do it in the beginning, it was like about 2005, 6, somewhere along there. And, no, 2007. And I just thought I was too busy to do it. I tried it, and it just like it was my time schedule, just couldn't fit it in. And to God just said to me, you know, really? Are you going to do what I asked you to do, or are you going to do what you're supposed to do? And just for that, now it was on Monday night, just for that, you're going to do it on Saturday morning. And when I got that message and got up on Saturday morning, not knowing what I'm doing, not knowing if anybody out there listening, I just tread out. And now it's 11 years, and God sent me, you guys, and you all have stuck and stayed. You know, a lot of people come in and stay, and I appreciate it. And we got an audience out there that listen. But you all get up on Saturday morning just like clockwork, you know, and it just makes my job a lot easier when I have someone that I can have a conversation with. It's hard having a conversation by yourself. Sometimes someone click. So audience out there, if you want to say something, want to get involved, just click one, and, you know, I'll cue you in, and we can hear what you have to say. But before we get too far going, Deborah, would you give us the prayer this morning, please?
Yes, ma'am. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you just to say thank you. Thank you for waking us up in our right mind, allowing us to be here to do your will. Thank you for using us, Lord. Thank you for trusting us. Thank you for giving us this assignment, Lord. We thank you for all that you're going to do. We ask right now that you would touch the hearts of everyone that's listening, that's going to listen, that's going to go back and look it up later. Lord, your word will go out and accomplish that thing. It will not return unto you void. We trust you, Lord. We praise you in advance. We give you all the glory for everything you're going to do. Move right now, Lord. Have your way, Lord. We surrender. We give our will to you, Lord. We trust that you know what's best for us. So help us as you promised, so we may live, Lord, because our hope is in you. We trust in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father God.
Amen. All right, ladies, what I'm going to do, I'm going to get into what the Holy Spirit has placed on my heart, and then I'll come back and pick you up and get your opinions, and then we'll open it up. The audience, if you're out there, you're listening, just dial in 347-539-5078, and you can click one to get involved with the conversation. And you might say, well, you know, I should know to dial in. Everybody that's on here is not on the phone. A lot of people are using it from their computer. So you can also do that as well and not actually dial in. Then we have an app. Some people are using the app. And I'm going to be focusing that out and sending that out this week a little more and getting people. So when wherever you are, you just click our app and you're in on the radio with us. So a lot of those things I don't see on the switchboard. But I thank you guys for listening and joining us on Saturday mornings when you could be out there playing and having fun. You know, you choose to sit down and get a word from the Lord, and I appreciate that. I'll be right back, Cynthia and Deborah. Thank you, guys.
Okey-dokey.
Yes, good morning, good morning. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm your host here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm here to talk about the mother and daughter relationship, the mother and daughter relationship. You know, a lot of times people would say to me, well, you know, what about father and son, mother and son? And I said, well, you know, God called me to focus on mother and daughter relationship. And the key to that, so that everybody will be included and no one feeling excluded, is that every human that enter into the earth enters by a woman. There's no other way you're going to get here. And that woman becomes labeled what we call mother. So we're all in the same position. Whatever we get out of these morning shows and the message and what it spreads out to humans. You think about it. There's nothing that we're talking about
that you can't use in your father-son relationship, you can't use in your father-daughter relationship, you can't use in your mother and son relationship, sister and brother, sister and sister, cousins, friends, co-workers. I mean, because it's just the truth. The truth will, what, make you free in any situation that you're in. Once we gain knowledge, then it sets us free in that area. We're no longer, you know, in prison in that thought. We're free. So that's all we are talking about with our mother and daughter relationship. And God wants me to focus on mothers and daughters because we need to grow up a whole new generation. In order to grow up a new generation, we have to start with our daughters, which will be our future mothers. So if we can get to those young girls and they can get a feel of how and what is expected of them from their creator, we all know we was created by someone, so we all know that we're responsible to someone. I don't know what you call that someone. I call it God. But, you know, someone created us. We just didn't pop up. But as a mother, we have to have enough wisdom to seek and ask God, how do you want me and what do you want me to do with this human? May it be a girl or a boy. What do you want me to do? How do I teach them? What is the dream and the vision that you've put inside this child? And sometimes mothers, you know, we don't have it to give because we didn't get it from our mothers. But when you come on the show, what we do is try to help each other and build each other up where those weak spots are. I don't have it all. Cynthia don't have it all. Deborah don't have it all. And we all have three different levels of mother and daughter relationships. Everyone's mother and daughter relationship is different. Some may be similar, but out of the 20 years that I've been working with mothers and daughters, as a Christian clinical psychologist, I have experienced some dynamics throughout the mother and daughter relationships. Some I never dreamt was possible. I just couldn't imagine. I'm an only child, so, you know, that puts me in a different category all along. Because with me and my mother, we were just tight. There wasn't no one else in the house. And then me and my daddy was tight. And I was the center of the eye, you know. So when you have one child, you become very selfish with that one child because you don't have someone else to share or divide and conquer the love or the attention. So therefore, I turn around, I had one child, and then I repeated that action. We tend to repeat similar things that we get from our mother as women. Sometimes we say, you know what? I'm not going to do that to my child. I'm not going to do that. When I grow up, this is what I'm going to do. You know, a little girl, she's always focusing on what she's going to do and how she's going to treat her children, and she demonstrates that through her doll. She have a doll baby, and if a mother and the daughter has a loving communication, just huggy-kissy relationship, watch that little girl with her doll baby. She would love on that doll baby, kiss it, comb its hair, you know, talk to it, dress it up real nice. She emulates what she's receiving. Watch the young girl that has the doll that her mother is spanking her, yelling at her, cursing at her, telling her she's no good. That's what she gives to her doll baby. Because, see, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. You know? And I'm not saying that as a cliche. My father-in-law coined that phrase. So, you know, the mind is, and as a psychologist, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I could relate to that because as the subconscious mind receives data, it holds on to it, and then it spits it out whenever there's a sense of something that's very familiar. And therefore, the human lives that moment again and again and again until you deal with that thought that's hidden in your subconscious mind. It will always give you a new appearance. at a time sometimes when you least expect. And you think you've gotten rid of it, but you never dealt with it. And that's what I found in mother and daughter relationships. They just push it to the back of their mind and says, you know, oh, I won't worry about that. And, you know, we just going to let that go. And that happened 20 years ago. And, you know, we're not going to talk about it. We're just going to go on. No, you don't have to talk about it because you're going to be about it. Your actions are going to display it. Your behavior is going to display it. And the minute something happens and you have a little pressure on you, it's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to say something. Yeah, you remember 20 years ago? You remember those 20 years ago when you used to? And the other person's like, what? The mother's like, where did that come from? No, because this was lying dominant, just waiting on an opportunity. It's just like someone that's drinking and they say they're drunk, and I only did it because I was drunk, you know. And if I hadn't had that drink, I wouldn't say, oh, yes, you would have. Because you were waiting. You don't have control over your subconscious mind. It will come up. It will remind you. You have the conscious mind. That foolish thing will tell you to do all kinds of crazy things. What you should do is slap her, really. She's talking to you like that? Or you let her talk to you like that? See, that's that intro conversation that I teach my clients about. You got an intro conversation that's going on in your head. And there's only two forces, good and evil. So you got the good side trying to debate with the evil side, and the evil side is going to win if you don't have enough of God's word in you to combat it, because that's the only thing going to help you win. It's not what you can come up with your mind. It's where the power is. It's what Jesus said. He said, what? I see nothing unless the Father tells me. I don't do anything unless he tells me to do it. Because he knew I've been on this earth for 30 years and I've done nothing. Now I'm saying what he tells me to say. Miracles are happening. Well, miracles can happen in your life just simply by saying what you were instructed to say. And the Bible is a book of instruction. Follow the instructions, you get the results in anything, computers. Any part, anything that you buy, you got to put together, follow the instructions. So when you get a daughter, mother, you don't know. You have to ask for the instructions. And once you get the instructions, then you're going to see the end results. So, Dr. Bessie, what does that have to do with the topic for today, which I didn't say? When I come on, I don't have control over what's going to come out of my mouth, because I release myself to the Holy Spirit, and then I just flow with whatever the Spirit tells me to flow with. And that was the introduction to where we are. Our stimulating topic today is mothers and daughters, stay focused. Stay focused. That's where we run into problems, conflicts, misunderstandings, confusion, because we're out of focus. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine. I'm sure he probably is not on the phone this morning, and he may be. His name is Paul. He don't mind me saying that. When I first met Paul, probably about 10, 11 years ago or longer, says, how you doing? I'm focused. Next time you meet him, how you doing? Stay in focus. And he did, I mean, he would say that every time. It used to get on my nerves. I was like, gosh, can he say anything else other than that? Stay in focus. I'm focused. Focus, focus, focus. So I didn't realize that was a lesson for me. See, sometimes things irritate us because it's trying to, what, teach us a lesson. And so when I just stopped one day, I mean, this was after probably a couple of years, really, and one day it just hit me about staying focused and how key that was to your success with your vision. Because if you're not focused on the thing or the person, then you're not going to get the end results that you're supposed to get. And staying focused is not an easy job.
It sounds easy. How are you doing? I'm focused. But are you really focused? See, sometimes we can say it till it becomes a cliche. You know, I'm focused. How you doing? What's up? You know, people got these little cliches and we go through that, hey, you know, and then it dies out. But it's cool for the moment and everybody's in on it because nobody wants to look like they're over on the left side. They want to be straight in the middle. Yeah, if focus is the main word, then that's what everybody says. But saying the word and not being a doer, that's where you get trapped. I can say I'm focused all day long. But my heart and my mind knows better. Because what's happening, am I really focused? Am I trying to talk myself into being focused? Do I know what focus is? Can focus be accomplished? Can I do it? Of course you can. Staying focused sounds simple, like I say, but it's not. I would say it's the hardest, if not, it's one of the hardest, if not the hardest, challenge for your life. And I want you to think about that. When you're going through life and you have just each person, as I speak to you right now, think of one thing that you have been going through, let's say within the last week or 2 weeks. And you're trying to really focus yourself out of that situation. You're trying to see the possibilities of, I'm passing through this. This is just for a short period of time. We do the talking. We do the verbal talking. We do the intro conversation, those ongoing conversations in your head. Now, those things are really, that's what I teach my clients. You got to learn how to manage those intro conversations. They will drive you insane, literally, and you can become very depressed if you don't know how to manage those conversations in your head. And then the conversations in your head get so strong that the words come out of your mouth, and whatever comes out of your mouth is what you receive. So that's the hard part of being focused. Focus is being challenged. Stay focused. Because there's so many things going to come at you to challenge you, to throw you off your game. Because being focused, you got to pay attention to a personal thing. To pay attention to something, that means you got to concentrate on it. You got to give it some time. You got to stay there. But the minute you're trying to concentrate on something, then you'll think about something that happened 20 years ago. The enemy's going to tell you about something that you got to do next week. You know, you got to pay that bill, and how you going to pay the light bill? You know, now cut back your hours. Now you don't have the money. Now that check didn't come in. You know, you got no food in the house. And you're trying to focus on how I'm going to get this project done so I can get through. But anything to stop you from staying focused. To stay focused, you got to be motivated. And it's hard for most people to motivate themselves. We look to television, radio, friends, cousins, joker on the street, whatever. We're looking for motivation all over the place. Because we're trying to do what? We're trying to find that space where we can find that peace, that we can get focused. If I just go out and walk out and just look at the trees, maybe I can settle my mind. We're looking for something to motivate us, to keep us from procrastinating about something that we know we should do. To stay focused is to have a single-mindedness. Most people can't do that. I don't know if I know I can't. Because to be single-minded means you're going to focus on that one thing, and that's it. That means you got to empty your mind of all the other garbage that you're holding on to that's attacking you. See, thoughts are your are weapons, I would say, that can be your greatest enemy, because the enemy is going to just keep throwing thoughts in your head, and you're thinking that's something that you're thinking about. You don't really think that you're being attacked by the enemy.
to keep you from really thinking on the good. The good is there. It's there all along. Jesus said, it's finished, it's finished. But you're being attacked in your mind's eye to keep you from seeing the good by the flashes of negative thoughts and conversations trying to overthrow you to keep you off your focus. The focus is to have your heart and your mind connected at the same time. Now, that happens very rarely, but it does happen. And in most cases, it's not something that you can concentrate on and make it happen. Because if we could make it happen, we'd make it happen every time. And the reason I say that is because when your mind and your heart meet, your spirit will react. Because, see, that's the focus. The focus is when you can get your mind and your heart to be in the same place, then your spirit is going to react. Because, see, the mind, the soul, which is your mind, your spirit, when they come together, your spirit is operating from your heart, then your body don't have a choice. Your body has to go along with it. That's why they say wherever the mind goes, the body will follow. The body has no power, no control. So if you just concentrate on, don't worry about your body, because your body can, you know, wants to do some crazy stuff, want to be here, go there, you know, do this. Don't worry about it. Just focus on your soul and your spirit. And when your soul and spirit come together, it creates a thing called faith. And faith moves God. And every once in a while, those two things that come together, boom, and then all of a sudden, faith kicks in, and there's a reaction from your spirit, and something is manifested in your life. And a good example of that is when, say, for instance, if you're sick, and all of a sudden you say, you know what? I believe what Jesus said, by his stripes I'm healed. Now, you're going to focus on that in your mind's eye, and you can just see that, and you feel it in your spirit. And then for a quick second you believe that, and all of a sudden that headache is gone. All of a sudden you feel better. But let's just say that you take it the opposite way. I don't know what I'm going to do. I tell you, this headache is just driving me insane all day long. It's been hurting for 2 weeks now, you know, and da da da. See, you're not focusing on the solution to the problem. You're just rambling off. The devil got you thinking. Yeah, your mama had that headache too, you remember? And your auntie died from it. It runs in your family. He's going to take you out because you're not focusing and putting your soul in the same position with your spirit, which is the truth. And when those two meet, you get the results that's created by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So you're hoping through your soul. And the things that you're hoping for, you can't see it because it's hidden within the spirit. And I hope I'm not just being redundant. I hope that I'm saying it clear enough that it's coming out the way that I feel it on the inside of me. So now you're talking about faith. That's how you get anything you want when you focus on faith. The soul, the spirit come together equals faith. You see it on your mind's eye. You see it in the eye of your mind. Let me put it that way. And you feel it in your heart. And you speak it out of your mouth. And you shall have what you say. Simple instruction. Simple instruction. And you can find that in Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Simple instruction. That's all you need. Out of all the Bible, there's only four words that you need to concentrate on, and that's Mark 11:22. have faith in God. Everything else is built upon that. If you don't believe that, then you cannot focus on your heart and your spirit coming together to create faith, what will create your reality. You have to focus. Now I'm going to go back to the switchboard. Anybody wants to chit-chat? Click one. All right, Cynthia. That's
well,
where
the
I'm
thing
at.
That. Okay, go ahead, Doc. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying that's where I'm at this morning. You know, we have to focus. If we can teach our children, we can emulate, do it ourselves, it will show up. And when we believe it, we shall receive it. Those are simple instructions. What are your take on it? What is your take?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about it is whatever you focus on, that's what grows. And James 1:7-8 tells us that for the man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Audience, when we lack the focus of the, because oftentimes people focus on what they don't want as opposed to what they want. And people focus on the thing that they desire oftentimes more than they focus. A prime example where I'm going with this is that oftentimes, too, our focus can be on a thing, but not on the giver of the thing. And so oftentimes when we are hoping for something from God, because it's all about the word, if you can't, and I've came to that conclusion this week, I can't want the thing or focus on the thing more than I focus on the gift giver. And so I'm real mindful. And I have to shift my thinking with regards to that thing that I want. Yes, I'm focused on it, but I can't focus on it more than I focus on the gift giver, who's God. God say all good things come from him, good health, good good mind. You know, if my mind is not right and I desire to be right with regards to my thinking, then I have to think on God's word, not my words. Because first of all, my words mean nothing to the enemy. We only have two forces in the world, good and evil. And if my word is not lining up with God's word, and I'm trying to fight the enemy with my own words, then I'm focused on the wrong thing. I'm saying the wrong things out of my mouth if I'm going back and forth in my intro conversation, as you mentioned, with the words that out of my mouth, as opposed to the words that coming from the word of God, because that's the only thing that backs him up, and he trembles at the word of God. And so I got to stay focused on the word of God. If I'm going to be a good mother, I have to focus on the word of God. If I'm going to be a good daughter, I have to focus on the word of God. If I'm going to be effective at what he's called me to do. I tell my students all the time, don't quote me. Look it up for yourself, because God tells us to study to show ourselves approved. I'm focused on the word. And it's so easy to get sidetracked as you suggested, because there's so much going on. The enemy is so busy with regards to trying to get you to doubt so your mind don't line up with the word of God. But you have to go back to that word if you're going to be victorious over getting sidetracked. That's the only thing that keeps us moving in an alignment with what God says. It's not easy. I have my daily profession and confession that I do lately for the last several months, because I have to, and I'm determined to stay focused on where he's taking us. Yes, I get a little sidetracked during the day, but I come back to it, because by now I've been saying those professions for quite a minute. I remember them. I don't have to go to the book anymore that I have for most of them. But I just start reciting those word, the word of God, in order that I can remain focused on where he's taking us. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you. That was a good word. You know, I was listening to you, and what came up in my mind was that I have a thing with me about when I tell people, when you're trying to use the power of your own mind to remember the word of God, you know, you have to be careful with that, because if you insert one word or leave out one word, then that's not what God said. Then it's null and void. It has no power. And sometimes when people are quoting scriptures and they can get it out, and you hear them and they're like, no, that ain't what it says. Because, you know, I tell people all the time, I just go in and get the Bible and read it. I got it written down somewhere and I read it, because I know if I read it and say exactly what he says, that's where the power is. So mothers and daughters out there, you know, get you some scriptures, hold on to them, read them, get that helps you to stay focused. Because when we get on the radio on Saturday morning, let me tell you, we have had a week. This week, I can tell you the number of things that have tried to attack me. The spirit of fear tried to attack me this week. You know, when it comes to finances, I said, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about that. There's some things I just say, no, I'm not going to worry. I don't let it come up. And I'm dealing with it. I don't deal with the spirit of fear. I cast it down. But there was something deep down in the pit of my belly. And I knew it was there. See, we know right from wrong, and we know what we're being attacked on, and we know what we're dealing with, and we may not say anything. And I have a I guess you say a mantra with myself, because I know the power of words. I'm very careful with what I say, because I know once it come out of my mouth, it's like a bullet is spoken. I can't take it back. It's going to go exactly to whom and where I intended for it to go. And so I try my very best. I'm not perfect. I just try to work on it and think about it. I've grown a lot from where Bessie Mae used to be, you know, because I used to open my mouth and anything would fly out. And I didn't care, wasn't thinking about it, didn't care afterwards. But thank God I'm a different person. So now I'm learning. And I've been teaching the word since 79. So I'm learning now that, okay, I'm dealing with this thing from within. I can deal with it, but I didn't realize it was as big. To me, it was like a pinhead. That was the size of it to me. But then I was doing some counseling with a young girl this week. And doing the counseling with the young lady, I'm telling her she's crying and upset, and she's saying that, you know, is that, you know, I just feel like I have a lot of pressure on me, and I need to, you know, I'm trying to please people, and I'm, what are they thinking? I think they're talking about me, and there's some jealousies, and this, and I goes into the spill about, well, we're not here to please man. If God asks you to do it, then that's what you do. You're never going to be able to please man. Your job is to please God, and that's all I said. And to me, if I can talk to God, I'm not going to worry about man. I can talk to any man. That's my philosophy on life. Humans, we all in this thing together. So as I'm telling her, the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to take that advice for yourself. I'm like, really? What? No. She's talking about fear. You're telling her not to be fearful. You're telling her don't worry about what people say. But deep down inside, see, we have to be honest with ourselves. Deep down inside, you've been holding up the progress that I've asked you to do. I asked you to do radio. I asked you to do television. I asked you to reactivate that magazine. But then you will get into that intro conversation and let the enemy tell you, oh, well, you know, you don't want to do that. Nobody want to hear what you have to say. But, you know, you're too old right now. You know, the young people, they just didn't know. And then you go, and then they're going to talk about you. And then you go, and then I just procrastinated. And then he sent in a team of people, knowledge, young people, wise, smart. That's what I asked for.
I said, God, I want you to give me some 30-some-year-old, some young people that, you know the internet, know how to make this thing pop. I don't know. I'm going to do it, but I need you to send. And then they showed up, the best of the best. But then I was still dealing with that little fear about what someone else was going to think. And I called my director and I said, listen, let's do this. He sent it to me around 5:30 or 6 that evening. And I'm telling you, I said, let's send it out. I felt so free after that. I feel like I am on a plane flying up in the air, really flying in the air without a plane. Because I've confronted something that I didn't think had as much power over me as it had. That makes sense. So no matter where you are, that's why I tell you when I get up on Saturday mornings and I'm on his radio, I am sharing with you lessons that I have been taught. And then I'm being taught as I speak to you. A lot of things that come out of my mouth on Saturday morning, I'm being taught. I'm like, wow. But I keep going. But it's my lesson that I'm sharing. So we're not perfect people. We just have to keep going and keep reminding each other. That's why he said you're your brother's keeper. We have to keep reminding ourselves that we're not in this by ourselves. And when you get a group of people, and I just thank God for the group that he sent around me, one of the best television producers, movie producers, you know, just a friend that I got friends that go ahead of me, and God used them to put me with the right people at the right time. I don't want to call people's name without talking to them, but I'm just telling you, God has set up a scenario that I'm just sitting back and looking, and I'm thinking, wow, look at God. Look at God. And I know that I have been freed this week from that little thing that the enemy was trying to hold over me. And the rest is going to be history. That's my testimony. So don't be afraid. Just stay focused and keep going. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
How are you doing again?
I'm good. I tell you, focus. Wow. I tell you, I was when you was talking about the little doll baby, you took me back to the only doll baby I had. And I tell you, it was just a thought that came through my mind, but I won't share it now. And so the doll baby and the daughter, like you say, is mimicking what the daughter and the mother have. And so I believe if the mother can focus on being the mother she needs to be, then the daughter will pick it up. If she can stay in the word, like God says, you know, get wisdom and then get wisdom, get understanding. And so I was, when you first came on this morning, I was reading that Proverbs 1, 2, and 3 about wisdom. And you came on and I said, Lord, I thank you. Because, you know, I didn't know what to read. And I was praying to give me something to read. And he said, wisdom, understanding. And I read 3 chapters right before you came on. I almost said, boy, I'm late because I'm looking at the clock. And so, yeah, I believe that if we could just focus on getting wisdom and learning how to be what God has called us to be and focus on that area and learn to continue to ask him for help. Because, you know, I'm down in my last year in school and all of a sudden I want to be lazy and I got to tell myself, stay focused, W, stay focused. You know, you done got a taste for traveling, you done been in 3 countries in 1 year, you know, and I'm just not just like, I just want to be done with school. Stay focused. You can't afford to get to the last year and start sleeping on assignments. You can't afford to be, you know, in class and not being a part of. You just stay focused. And I believe that message can be a general message to us all, how we need to just stay in tune with what God has given us to do. And don't get sidetracked. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but just stay focused on that. And like Cynthia say, you got to say the word. Bring the word back into the equation of you being focused, you know. Staying attuned to whatever it is that God has given you to be in front of you, to fix your eyes, fix your attention, to give your energy to, and he will do the rest. mothers and daughters, you know, you mothers stay focused on the word because God has given you the gift of a child, of children, and he's counted on you to give them godly examples. So you need to demonstrate those examples, and you learn from the word. Stay focused on the word, whatever God has given you, how to be a mother, how to be submissive to your husband, all of that stuff is in instructions. He said, and all you're getting, get instructions. Learn how to do it. Like anything we buy, they always got a little sample of something, and they're saying, this is how you do it. And sometimes we say, I don't need instructions. I could do it by myself. And then in the end, you realize, oh, I put something apart missing, or, oh, I didn't do it right. It's not working. Go back to the manual, the word. If we just stay focused on the word, we'll find everything that we need, how to raise the kids, how to be that model, even if you don't mess up, even if you're coming from a wretched lifestyle, even if you're coming from a lifestyle that you just shame to talk about. If you had one like mine, it'd be like one you want to throw under the rug and never talk about. But those should be examples that you can use to illustrate in your teaching your children what not to do. I've done that. It doesn't work. This is what it looks like. It didn't look good on me. It's not going to look good on you. Inform them. Get them information. How to not go to the left or to the right. But we got to be able to learn from the word, share those things to help that generation that's going to be leading us in another 20 years. Those individuals going to be our leaders, and we're going to be in whatever number you're going to be in age, sitting back saying, oh, they're the fool. Fool, we must have raised the fool. Because if we don't teach them, they can't get it. So focus on the word, because all your answers in the word. I know if you're on this radio station that you're seeking a word because you know it's a godly radio station, so you didn't turn it on looking for secular advice. You didn't turn it on looking for, you know, what Ray Ray and them say they would do. You turn it on because you know it's the gospel. It's talking about the word, talking about how to live a life, how to do it in God's way. So if you turn it on, I'm sure you're in the right place. So just be encouraged. And stay focused on what God has called you to do. Stay focused on the word so you may be that individual to raise up that generation that's going to be a generation that we're going to be proud of, and we're going to leave a legacy behind us saying, this is what we taught the generation. This is what we taught our kids. God has counted on us to be that model. Stay focused. Thanks for letting me share.
Wow, okay, then we can just shut up and go on home. That's it in a nutshell. Woo. Ladies and gentlemen, you see why I say, you know, God gives us three different personalities and we come from three different perspectives because of our life experiences. That was a good word there, Deborah. This and you really kicked something off in my head, and I don't think I've never said it, but we just assume that it's understood when you say, when you come to this station. Most people know that I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and it's based on the Word of God. So when you come, that's what you come in to seek or hope to hear. And I never thought about it. You know, like you say, Ray Ray and Boo Boo and all of them, you know, ain't nothing wrong with their station, but that's where they are, and everybody's here, and we all deliver the message according to what we feel is right in our hearts. So thank you for that. And it is about the mother being able to clear up and make sure that she's right. Because, see, if the mother's not right, the whole household is off center. The husband is off. The son is off. Because everybody's looking to the mother. And when the mother walks away from the house, when the mother decides she's not going to be there physically or mentally, the children are lost. So we have got to understand that as mothers, we are a powerful force to the mind of the children. Now, Cynthia brought something in. One second. I'm going to put you guys live on the line here. Cynthia and Deborah, you're live. Cynthia brought something in about the gentleman that we were looking at on a television show, Project Runway. And on that show, this gentleman is dealing with something that happened when he was 2 years old. And he's still dealing with that. And it's something that we were saying that we just need to go and give him a hug and help him to get past. I just want to let him know I can help him.
because he's still locked into the age of two. And things happen that's that's devastating to a child's mind. It locks them in that place until someone comes along that can water that child, can help that child, be a mentor, you know, the church, a neighbor, a teacher. Got to send somebody to help that child, because if not, they can stay in that spot and be a 40-year-old, 2-year-old, because they cannot and have not gotten past the effects of what happened in their life at that moment. Now, I want to say one thing, and this is really about, you know, I tell you, we are all about being honest and being true. And as Deborah was speaking, and I was sitting back and I was laying back with my head on the couch here and I was listening, and this is what came up into my mind. The Spirit was saying, that's what happened to you. You became unfocused in 2000. I'm like, became unfocused in 2000. What happened in 2000? I'm doing mothers and daughters. Around about 2000, 2003 there, I met a friend of mine. We were just talking about this. She saw we have a television show coming out, My Mother, My Daughter. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that too. I'm just going to do this, and then we're going to talk a little bit about that show and the Bible College. And she said to me, she said, Dr. B, she said, remember I met you in 2000. And she said, when I was speaking at Dr. C. Smith College in Charlotte, and she was there at the convention or whatever, doing something at the college, and we met in the parking lot. And as I am, I speak to people and talk, and you know how we do, and those who like to talk. And we got to talking, and she said, what is it that you do? And I told her, I said, well, I work with mothers and daughters. I specialize in mother and daughter relationships. And she started telling me about her mother and her relationship and how it had gone south, and she's an only girl, and they were very close. And long story short, I'm just going to get to the point. We became friends. She started working at the office, and we went from there. And her name is Frida. And so Frida reminded me, she said, you know, when I looked at that video, she said, I remembered what you told me in the parking lot. You were the first person to introduce me to an RV. She said, you said to me, I'm going to be going, I'm going to have an RV, and I'm going to be going around the country. I'm going to be teaching and talking to mothers and daughters and helping them relationship. And that was in 2000. And when she said that, I was like, wow. I said, Frida, you know you're right. And Frida is a co-host of us. She comes and goes, but right now she's living an exciting life. And we're just proud of her because she's enjoying herself. But I just wanted to say that really pulled me back to when I was thinking about being focused, and I was listening to Deborah talking, and I'm saying 2000, I was saying what we are actually doing now. We are actually living in what I spoke in 2000. Now, could it have happened earlier? A possibility. But what happened? I made some decisions that took me off course, y'all. You know, I said I wanted someone that was out there. I wanted someone that was fun and energetic, and I wanted to see the world, and I just wanted somebody I could just hang out with and a dance partner. Oh, I put all of that out there into the world, and I put those words out there, and what happened? Here he came, you know? I mean, and what happened? I became unfocused. And it took me from about 2004 to about 2010 to get back on my track. But even at that, I wouldn't change anything about what happened in the past, because it helped me to be the woman that I am today, because now I have some knowledge in different areas that I wouldn't normally have had. Because I got married at 18, so I never dated, had a dating life. But bringing it back up to now, my thing is, once you get focused, you may get off focus.
But there's something in you that will bring you back to that line. And you could do like I did. I went back to God and I said, God, what happened? He said, you know what happened? I gave you something to do. You chose to go out and see the world and do whatever. And so now you come back to me. And I said, God, if you can forgive me. I repented. I asked him to forgive me. And I said, if we could just start all over again. I'll never forget that. I was in my office on my floor crying. I said, I promise you, I will stay focused. And that's why when people say things to me about, you know, doing this and going here, no, I made a promise to God. I'm going to stay focused. And I have stayed focused from 2010 to now. I have not deviated. That's why I don't date. That's why I stay focused, because I know if I bring someone else in my life, I will get off focus. It's so easy to get off focus when you're interacting with someone on a dating level. And I know I don't want the distraction. So I'm choosing to stay focused because I want to see what God had told me he's going to do. And he's going to do it if I could just only do half of what I think I can do, what he's asking me to do. He's not looking for me to be perfect. And I'm not saying you can't date. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I need to stay focused because I knew what happened before when I went out there. I'm like, no, because I get too caught up in that. No, I just need to stay over here and focus and see where God wants me to go. And then all of it will come together for the good. So
amen.
Just had to share that with you. I just had to share that with you because sometimes people Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Allow me to interject here to just piggyback on what you and Deborah said. So, audience, how do we persevere? How do we stay focused? Because God says, and I went back and read James 1:13. It says, "Let no man say he's tempted." Deborah says she's tempted to be lazy. That ain't God. Anything that's contrary to God, it is. We only got two forces in the world, like we said. So if you're tempted to do anything other than what God says, you know that you are losing your focus and you need to hurry up and get back. It took Dr. Fletcher from 2010 to now to get she got back focused in 2010. It's a minute. It takes a minute when you get off track. Also, mm-hmm. James 13 said, let no one says he is tempted. Because God is not cannot be tempted, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and it is evil to be slothful. We are not to be slothful. God also gives us revelations about being lazy. And I wrote down this Proverbs 12:24: the hands of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. In other words, you'll be doing whatever man tells you to do as opposed to what God has ordained you to do when we lose focus of what he would have us to do. That's my thought on it. Because he is real, and he tells us what he wants us to do if you just seek his word. It's all about that wisdom. If you don't know what he would have you to do, you're going to be doing whatever you think you want to do. But when he tells you what to do, you got to stay focused. And when you're tempted to get off track, you got to run on back. The best, I heard this recently, the best thing you can invest in is a pair of sneakers, Adidas, to run back to what God has told you to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And that's it. Well, I want to tell the audience I am so excited to make some announcements this morning. Thank you, Cynthia. That was a great word. And, yes,
you're
it,
welcome.
It took me 10 years, and I look back at it, and I said, you know what, 10 years, those 10 years grew me up, and I wouldn't change anything about it. Oh, Lord, it's so much. Let me say this to the audience. We are blessed to have a young man I'm trying to make sure I get all my stuff together here. My iPad just went dead. We are releasing a new television, I call it promo, and Cynthia reminded me that was so old-fashioned, so trailer. We have a new television trailer that's on YouTube. And I want you to go to YouTube. It's at Dr. Bessie Fletcher, PhD. Click on that particular one. There's so many things there. But click on that and look at the My Daughter, My Mother, My Daughter television trailer. And give us your opinion. Look for us. The show is coming out 2020. I'm excited about it. And then we are also this week uploading and taking in applications for students for the Mother and Daughter Bible College. We take your credits. If you have old credits and you think you've just wasted time and money, no, you haven't. We'll take your old credits and then we'll bill you a new end so you can finish that college degree. So there are two babies being birthed this week on a major level. We had the baby, their birth, but they are going to another level. They're coming out of the incubator, and now they're going home to grow up. So I'm excited. We're excited. We had our first student, Deborah, to sign up on yesterday. We were dancing around for the college, you know. So it takes that one to get started. And so we're excited about that. We wanted to call you 11-something last night, Deborah, but I told her, no, it's too late to call Deborah. But audience, go to our new website, mdbn.org. That's mdbn.org. And click on that button. Go up to the college. Check that out. Send in for some information. We'll send it to you. And then also go to YouTube, and we are bringing that to the website as well. But go to YouTube right now, Dr. Bessie Fletcher, PhD, and then you will see the new trailer. Give us your comments. Deborah, Cynthia?
That's it for me, Dr. Fletcher. I've said all that God has for me to say, and I'm just so excited about what's going on right now. You know, I just gleam when I'm teaching. And so the new school year started. We have great students thus so far. A little trouble with one, but it's okay. She's gonna be okay. I had a long talk with her last night, and we're gonna get this party on the road for this year. Yes, ma'am.
And then we have graduation. We have graduation on the 28th of this month down in South Florida.
25th.
We are excited about that. This is the students that are graduating from the Hollywood Correctional Center. These are women coming out of prison, walking across the stage, and graduating with a college degree. And we got the new students just started this week. So we just overlap. It is moving. So television, graduation, new school, new online college, radio.
Magazine,
praise God, look at God. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, a lot's going on.
Hold on.
Yeah.
All right, love you guys. God bless you.
Love you guys.
Love
you, audience. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, love y'all.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. Thank you for listening. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Remember, stay focused.